This month's share is being sponsored by Lyndon Mark Grunbaum, Ruthie Nelly Vistosky, in memory of Judith Grunbaum, Yudis Bas Yosef Halevi. We continue with the shiurim about Magal HaChayim, about the halachas of the life cycle. So I want to give, I guess, the second half of the introduction shiur. The real actual halachas of the life cycle usually begin with Hukkas Bris Milah. Last week we spoke a little bit about prior to the life cycle, exactly when life begins. So I want to speak a little bit about issues also prior to the life cycle per se, specifically the status of pregnancy and birth in halacha as they relate to the global question in terms of Hilchos Chola. We know, of course, that there are unique halachos, both in terms of Hilchos Shabbos and other areas of halacha, as relate to a chola, the unique status of someone who is ill in halacha. So really to focus specifically what category a woman who is pregnant and a woman who just underwent childbirth, what unique status in halacha she may have. So the sugya starts with the first of the Ma'amakamos and the Gemara Maseches Pesachim and Daphim and Dalid. Darash Rava, Ubros and Manikos, Misanos and Mashlimos, Kedarash and Misanos and Mashlimos, Yom Kippur. Gemara speaking about the requirement of fasting on Tisha B'Av. So Rava tells us that a woman who is pregnant or a woman who is nursing is required to fast on Tisha B'Av. She's required not only to fast part of the day, but Misanos and Mashlimos. She's required to fast the entire day on Tisha B'Av. Similar to the way that a pregnant woman or a nursing woman is required to fast and to complete the fast on Yom Kippur. So there are really two halachas that are being stated over here. We're going to focus on Ubros, so the pregnant woman is going to leave out the Minikos for now. There are really two halachas that are said. One of them perhaps less of a Chiddush, one is more of a Chiddush. The less of a Chiddush is that a pregnant woman is required to fast on Yom Kippur. Why would anyone have thought otherwise? Maybe one would have thought that just pregnancy per se is considered to be a Chola Sheyesh Pasakana. And we know that a Chola Sheyesh Pasakana does not fast, as we spoke about last week. So Rava says that's pretty partial. Everybody knows that. Just being in the state of pregnancy, that in and of itself does not constitute a sakana. It doesn't even constitute a suffix sakana. So this is pretty partial. The Gemara never even had a havamina sheba havamina, in contrast to some doctors who may say otherwise. But the Gemara never even had a havamina that a pregnant woman per se would not be fasting on Yom Kippur. Again, this is obviously assuming that you're talking about a normal pregnancy now, but pregnancy with particular complications, then that may very well qualify as pikuach nefesh. That would be, you know, the yotzei min hakalal. As a general rule, pregnancy does not constitute a sakana to fast. But then the Gemara is telling us the second chiddush, that not only does she fast on Yom Kippur, which is deraisa, but she's even required to fast on Tisha B'Av, which is on a midrabanan. And that's already something more of a chiddush. Why is that? Because Tisha B'Av, since it's only midrabanan, so many poskim assume, we probably accept this lahalacha, that one need not be a chola sheyesh b'sakana to be exempt from fasting on Tisha B'Av. Even if one is what's called in halacha chola she'ein b'sakana, means nechla kol gufra, nechla mishkav, those terms that we're familiar with in Hilchos Shabbos, that a person is just feeling miserable, he has to lay in bed, he's running a low-grade fever or something. So if a person is sick, even though he's not sick to the point of even being a suffix sakana, one would most probably not be required to actually fast on Tisha B'Av. Chola here doesn't just mean the person has a headache. That's what the person called the michosh bialma. That's what we call a little bit of a kvetch in halacha. That a person is a chola, that means that the mom is sick. That means they have 101, they're laying in bed, they're sick, but there's no chance of any sakana whatsoever. So to fast on Tisha B'Av, one is properly exempt from. So when Rava tells us that Mubaras and Menikos are required to fast both the Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av, so what Rav is telling us is a double chiddush. That means a muveris, a woman who's pregnant, not only is she not labeled as a chola sheyesh bo sakana, but she's not even labeled as a chola she'ein bo sakana. That although it may be a little bit uncomfortable for her to fast, that's labeled in halacha as like a michosh bealma, and such an individual would be required to fast both on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av. Even though this is clearly the halacha that pregnant women under normal circumstances fast on both Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, the other tainiyos may be different. That's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the second of the Ma'amakamos. That a person is required to fast on the four tainiyos, namely the not Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, the other ones, the Tzom Gedayos, Arbetavis, etc. And one is not permitted to break, literally to break through a fence, one is not permitted to be makil. But the Ramal says, "Mil ubros and meniko shemitzdaros harbe ein lefanos." If a pregnant woman or a nursing woman is very uncomfortable, she need not fast on some gedarish, some betamus, some betavis, and tanisester. Afilu einan mitzdaros ein mechiyavos lefanos. And then the Ramal adds on that even if they're really not in any pain whatsoever, they're still not required to fast. El shenagul lahachmir, but afal pichein, they are nogos. The minig is that if it's not too uncomfortable, so then many pregnant women do in fact fast, and then the Ramal just sells you, but the begin with some of the test Tisha B'Av, Mechayavas, Lahashlim, Kiddel. Chamav. And Tisha B'Av, that's Medina. The Gemara, they're required to fast. What's the source for this chiluk that the Ramah is telling us that Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, yes, but the other tiniest, no? So this is based on the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara tells us that the requirement of fasting, the other tiniest, besides Tisha B'Av, is not really Mikra Adin B'Zman HaZeh. The only time you're really mechuyav to fast on Shavuos B'Tammuz, Shavuos B'Teves, and some Gedalia is only B'Shas Peronah. So only if you live in a time when there are specific gezeiros, there are specific decrees by the non-Jewish authorities against Klal Yisrael. You live at a time when things aren't so terrible. It's not so great either. There's no Beis HaMikdash. It's not necessarily the high point of Jewish history. On the other point, we're not quite at the low point either, so we're somewhere in the middle. So the Gemara says, Ratzah Mesadah and Ratzah She'edah Mesadah, that the whole requirement of fasting on these quote-unquote minor fast days, Bizman HaZeh, is optional. You want to fast, yeah. You don't want to fast, that's also okay. And the Rishonim write that once Klal Yisrael accepted upon themselves to fast, so now an individual can no longer turn around and say, I don't want to be part of the Tzibur. That's the Kabbalah, that Tzibur is binding for the entire Klal Yisrael. So Halach L'maisa, of course, one is required to fast on these minor fast days, but the Mechayev, that obligatory force that forces us to fast on these days, is not so much the Halacha that requires us to fast, but it's more the Kabbalah, that Tzibur. It's the fact that Klal Yisrael as a whole accepted upon themselves to fast. So they come to Rishonim and say, Klal Yisrael as a whole, minus a few individuals. Who were the individuals who didn't accept upon themselves? The pregnant women, the nursing women, that was from the Tchila, from the original Kabbalah Satsibur, hundreds, thousands of years ago, whatever it was, to assume that we have to fast on these minor tiniels, even though it's not a Shasa Peronos. So that Midrash Tzibur, that Nedrash Tzibur, that Kabbalah Tzibur was never really accepted by the Nashim Hu Ha'Me'ubaros, by the pregnant women, or for the nursing women for that matter. So the reason why Me'ubaros don't fast on the other Tainios of the Ikar Adin is not because they're a Chola in the real sense of the word. As the Gemara tells us in Pesachim, Me'ubaros is not a Chola She'esh B'Sakana, she's not even a Chola She'ein B'Sakana, she's really only in the category of a Michos Tzas, or someone who's just a little bit uncomfortable, but there was a special Kula on the other Tainios because the fact that the other tainus are not really Mikra Din Bizman HaZeh. So this status of a pregnant woman as not even being a chol at all is true for most of the pregnancy, but it changes towards the very end.
Yeah, but even so, once you say that
the mice, it is uncomfortable. There's no question that it is uncomfortable, more uncomfortable for a pregnant woman than for a non-pregnant woman to fast under normal circumstances. So, but the minigat tzibah was not to include them. So this status of the pregnant woman is not really being a kol at all. This is only true for most of the pregnancy, but at the very end, this is going to change drastically, and she's going to be transformed from someone who was only a michosh bi'alma to someone who's a kol l'shiyesh b'sakana very quickly. So comes the Gemara, the third of the Ramakomos in the Sefer Shabbos, and tells us, Amar Rav Yehuda bar Shmuel, Chaya, a woman who's in the process of giving birth, kol zman she'er kever pasuach, once the kever opens up, here the Chazal used the term kever, in referring to the rechem, referring to the mokla, the three terms are used interchangeably. The Chumash uses the phrase Arechem, Chazal usually use the word Makor, and sometimes Chazal use the word Kever as well. So basically it means when the uterus opens up, whatever Chazal we're referring to, the cervix opening up, and it's a question how far exactly that means, but Chozman Shekher Pasuch, once that area which the baby eventually is going to come out of, so once that area opens up, so she takes on the status of being a Cholash Yesh Basakana, so Bein Amrat Tzrichani, Bein Lo Amrat Tzrichani, Mechal Anas HaShabbos, that if we size up that there's something that has to be done for her benefit, even if she says no, she says she doesn't have any needs, she's okay, she can wing it. So no, the halacha is that we treat her as a chola she'esh b'sakana, and we have to take the initiative, even if she doesn't really sense that there's anything that's so significant. So the critical moment in time is psichas hakever, psichas hamakor. At that point, then we declare that childbirth is beginning, and at that point she becomes not only a chola she'esh b'sakana, now she becomes mamash a chola she'esh b'sakana. So comes the Gemara in the next of the Mamakomos, which is the end of that sugya. Comes the Gemara, raises the following Yisrael question, the Emes HaPsichas HaKever. It's a very vague phrase in Halacha, that Psichas HaKever, so then everything that changes. So what point is that? So Amr Abaye, Nishah Shetesheva LaMashkras. As I says, the Pasuk in Pasha Shmos, the term Tavah, Yaledes, Alev, Yaledu, Ritzel Alav Naim, that once she's sitting literally on the birthing stool, so that's considered to be the moment of Psichas HaKever. And then you have to assume that Psichas HaKever is taking place. Rav Huna Breda of Yeshua Amam, Nishah Shadam Shosis Yorik. Kahuna says another Eitzah, that when you see the dam, when you see that the woman is actually starting to bleed, so significantly shows the Sviyarei, so that's considered to be Psichat HaKevev. Avrilan, there are others who said, Mishar Shechavru said, no, so, 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 Agapeha, that at the time that that she can't walk anymore, that her friends have to support, have to help her, grab onto her, that she's already so progressed in labor that she can't walk on her own, that's considered to be the time in Halacha of Psichat HaKevev, Psichat HaMakor. At that point, we declare her to be a Cholash Yesh Basakara. So it's clear from the Amoraim that there was a Shia, there is an objective Shia called Psichas HaKevra. So the thing is, it's very hard to ascertain that unless you're doing this manazel, unless you're doing internals all the time to see exactly how progressed she is in labor. So how are you going to know whether it's Psichas HaKevra or not? So the Amoraim are trying to size up in the normal circumstances what point in labor is that most probably going to correspond to the objective Shia of Psichas HaKevra. In Shulchan Aruch and Chashavas, we assume the halacha lekula on this shaila, namely that any of the above constitutes a chashash of psichas akeva, for the simple reason that pikuach nefesh, pikuach nefesh, always go bust of the maker, you always follow the most lenient sheep, to something that fashas lahakel. So it says in Shulchan Aruch and Chashavas that any of the above signs happen, if either she's a shavas ala mashber, or if it's shash adam shosas v'yared, or chavaseh nosas asar, any of the above, so that constitutes already a suffix, already a chashash of psichas hakever, and then all the dinim of pikuach nefesh are going to kick in. The first can point out this man hazeh that the process of childbirth has fundamentally changed, and that fundamental change is going to affect the application of this man hazeh, this halach, a very simple distinction. That in the olden days, when a woman gave birth, so she didn't really have to travel all that far. I mean, as soon as she felt she's near birth, so they brought in the midwife or whoever else was supervising the giving birth, and that's it. So then there wasn't really a rush to get anywhere. So therefore, you have a little bit of time. So until you reach the point of psichas hakever, so you can't assume that she's necessarily, just because she has one contraction here and there, so we call this the Braxton Hicks, if I'm not mistaken. So you get a little thing, something that looks like a contraction. So a lot often that's pikuach nefesh. It could be that she's not going to give birth for another 2 weeks. So that's why Chazal will kedaya that once you reach these points, these are usually indicative of the fact that this is going to be a real birth this time. So once you reach these points, then and only then are you permitted to be Mechal Shabbos. But it's not as Zelotos can say, there's a whole new factor that we have to take into consideration that Chazal never dreamt of, namely that a woman's going to go into labor and then she has to travel somewhere. So she's got to get to the hospital. So she may have to drive for an hour in order to get to the hospital. So you can imagine if you're going to plug in this shiur of Bizman Azeh. So here the woman goes into labor in the middle of the night on Friday night. So the husband's at Ben Tavra, he went to the Shia, so he's learning through the Sugya. His wife's in labor and he's learning through the Sugya. And then it's all of a sudden he says, oh, wait a second, you're not your Shabbos Alam Mashba yet, we're not going anywhere. And there's no Dam Shoses, we're not going anywhere. And then Chavuseh knows Sabamit, Bagafeh, we're not going anywhere. Until those Shirim come, I refuse to pick up the phone, I refuse to get into the car, I refuse to call the care, I refuse to go to the hospital. So the Toskim point out that what you're going to have is you're going to have yourself a baby in the base medrash. Because obviously, there's Manazeh, you have to take into consideration the travel time. So there's Manazeh, you can't use these Shirim, they don't make any sense, there's Manazeh. So what Shia do you have to use this Manazeh? So you have to use common sense. So what is common sense? Common sense dictates that whenever the doctor would tell you if you're giving birth on a Tuesday, so the doctor would say, if you're having X amount of contractions, X amount of minutes apart, so that's when it's time to call the doctor. So whatever the doctor tells you to call on a Tuesday night, that's when you call on the Friday night also. So yeah, this is not a lot of nice numbers and everything, but it doesn't match anything for Zman Hazeh. For Zman Hazeh, you just have to use whatever the best medical knowledge available is. I remember once someone was telling me, I didn't understand what they were trying to say. I think they were trying to show how zohir they were in Shmirah Shabbos. They were explaining that they had gone into labor and they wouldn't go to the hospital, not only until Motzei Shabbos, but they waited until Rav Meir Tamzban was over before they called the doctor. I don't know. I thought, what was the term? Chassid Shaita was the term that came to mind, yeah, something like that. That was my initial reaction. I didn't want to inform them of that, but I think that's basically what we can call that. We'll call it halacha chassid shaita. Anyway, so getting back to this story. So this cloud that the Gemara has of psichas hakever, that's synonymous with these different shiurim, and that plays a role in terms of vichus chol b'shabbos, in terms of vichus pikuach nefesh. So this sugya masachas shabbos, although it may not be relevant so much in terms of pikuach nefesh b'zman hazeh, it may be very, very relevant in another area of halacha, and that's an area in terms of vichus midah, based on the next of the Ma'amar Kabbalah, in Ma'amar Kabbalah number 5. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Din, the beginning of the third Perek, Hamapelas Chaticha, that if a woman has something which appears to be a miscarriage, but it's not a full halachic miscarriage, it wants to be a vlad in halacha, so it has to meet certain criteria. It has to be certain point of development. It has to be more than 40 days. We mentioned this a little bit quickly last week. It has to have some basic tzura of a vlad in order to really be labeled as a miscarriage in halacha for all the dinim of tumah v'tahara in terms of your letters to kick in. But comes the Mishnah and says, so if a woman is a mapelas chaticha, so if she just expels from her body just a piece of flesh or something, a piece of basar, so it's a chaticha, it doesn't have the status of a vlad. So comes the Mishnah and says, "In Yeshu Madam Tamei, Avim Lastahora." So if there happens to be blood which comes out also, she's going to become Tamei anyway. She won't be Tamei Yoledes, so she'll be Tamei Anida. So she'll become a regular Anida if there's Dam. But what if there's no Dam? So then she's Tahora, and she's totally Mutaris Labaila. Because when the point of the Chaticha is garnished, the Chaticha is not of Lot. A woman could become a Sura for one of two reasons. Either if she has a Riyaz Dam, or if she has a Vlad, or she has a halachic miscarriage. So if she's Matalas Chaticha, so Chaticha falls short of being defined as a Vlad, and if there's no Dam, so then the Maaseh, she's Mutaris. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ben Kach Ben Kach Tameh. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, just for the mere fact that she's Matalas Chaticha, so that will be Mitameh, and that will Asa her Labayla. So the Gemara wants to know, the Chor the Tanakam is right. So why does Rabbi Yehuda Mitameh? Huh? So the Gemara has a whole bunch of different Kimtas, Bedas, Rabbi Yehuda. At the end of the Sugya, the Gemara says, that line in the Gemara, it's a little misleading on the Marma Komas. Reading it the way it appears here, you would think this was the next line of the Gemara. It's about 100 lines later. So finally, the Gemara says, "Ela Amr of Nachum Yitzchok, the Efshel of Psichas Kevah Below Dam Kamiflegi." That the Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham is as follows: when a woman is Mapelas Achaticha, so there was a Psichas Kevah. Obviously, if the Chaticha came out, so obviously something opened up. So once there's a Psichas Kevah, so the question becomes, can we say that Psichas HaKever can exist without a Riyaz Dam? Is that a medically correct statement? Can the service open, whatever that means, whatever degree Chazal is referring to, can you have a Psichas HaKever without necessarily having Riyaz Dam? So the Tanakhama said, absolutely. So that's what the Tanakhama says, that Hamapelas Chaticha, she's not Tameya B'Toras Yoledes, because it's not a Vlad. Is she Tameya B'Toras Nida? Not. It depends. In Yesh Dam, yeah. In Ein Dam, no. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Rabbi Yehuda says that just the mere fact that she was Mapelas Chaticha, that in of itself is a problem. Why? Not that the Chaticha is a problem. The Chaticha is not a Vlad, but it's a problem because of Dam. That we must assume that there was a Riyaz Dam. It has to be, because Iyash L'Psichas HaKever V'lo Dam. It cannot be that the Kever, that the Rechem, the Mochem can ever open up without any blood coming out. That was Rabbi Yehuda's Chiddush. How do we paskin halacha this machlekes? So even though it's usually machlekes Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, we should usually side like the Tanakam. Tanakam is usually the Rabbim. So here there are a few Gemaras in Maseches Nida that seem to follow Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. This is Stam Gemara at the end of Maseches Nida that assumes that Iyash Shalom Psichas Akev Belo Dam. That's how most of the Rishonim paskin. That's how we assume halacha Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam happens to disagree, but generally speaking in halacha, we assume there is such a klal of Iyash Shalom Psichas Akev Belo Dam. It means once the kever is open, once the mocher is open, so then we assume that there's Dam, even though we didn't necessarily see the Dam. It's this halacha, just parenthetically, that is the source of all the discussion about when a woman goes for checkups and different procedures, whether just the mere procedure itself causes the problem of Nida or not. So that's a whole machlekes in the poskim, depending on what type of procedure, how far it goes, what is Psichas HaKever, how open it is, in order to be labeled as Psichas HaKever, but it's all based on this assumption. If you hold like the Rambam, that Efshel Psichas HaKever below Dam, then all those shalos are moot. If there is Dam, yeah, there's no Dam, no. So we pass in Allah that Efshel Psichas HaKever below Dam. So it's based on this klal that the Pesach Tshuva quotes the following fascinating chumra in the sixth of the Marim Makomos. Hayim behetar shalav ma'aridzal shehevi b'shem tshuvas nachla shiva simen tes. It was a tshuva that was written by the sefer nachla shiva. Nachla shiva was a very famous sefer because he wrote all the shtaros, all the fancy documents that you ever have to write on every bizarre situation under the world. So under the sun, that was written by the nachla shiva. So in addition to that, he also wrote tshuvas. So in one of his tshuvas, he talks about the following shayla. The isha sheyashva al hamashva, there's a woman who was literally sitting on a birthing stool, she was about to give birth, upaskiwa chavolim vatsirin, and then lo and behold, talk of the labor stopped. I mean, the glory was afraid that it was a joke, that it wasn't a real labor, it was a false labor. So Kamen HaShivan says, guess what? The Tzricha Shivan Akiyam, she has the status of a Nida, even though she didn't say Nidam, she has the status of a full-fledged Nida, and she has to count Shivan Akiyam in order to become Muteris to her husband. So we just sent her home from the hospital, and then we told her the good news. Not only the good news that she didn't have a baby yet, the other good news is that she's now a Surah to her husband. Why is that? Where did this come from? Mishum di Amrinim b'Shabbos, based on the Gemara in Shabbos, Ne'emes HaMechalan Aleha, Shabbos, Nishas Psichas HaKever, because the Gemara says that the objective Shia for Chilul Shabbos is Psichas HaKever. Uktani Allah, Ne'emes HaPsichas HaKever, Nishas Shiyashra LaMashber, and the Gemara defines Psichas HaKever, one of the Pshat in the Gemara is Yeshiva LaMashber, the Iyav Shal Psichas HaKever below Da'am Ayin Shan. And that same phrase of Psichas HaKever appears in Masechet Shabbos, vis-a-vis Pikuach Nefesh, and appears in Masechet Nida, vis-a-vis Hilchos Nida, with the cloud Iyav Shal Psichas HaKever below Da'am. So the Rachashim made Gzeir Shava. It says Psichas HaKever in Shabbos, and it says Psichas HaKever in Nida. It must be the same physical Psichas HaKever. So Psichas HaKever means, i.e., you're sitting on a Mashber, you're in an advanced stage of life. So what Chazal is telling us, that once a woman is in an advanced stage of labor, so advanced that she's sitting on the mashber, so we have to assume that there was Iyav Shalom Psichas HaKever below down, and therefore she as a Surah Labayla, she has to count Shiv Nakim because of the mikvah in order to be Mutaris Labayla. That was a tshuva of Rach Lashiva. So the overall majority of the Pelskim rejected this tshuva for a variety of reasons. There was some Achron who said that, yeah, Iyav Shalom Psichas HaKever below down, assuming that there really was a Psichas HaKever, but this turned out to have been a farce. I mean, the Gloy Muslim of Hennet wasn't a Psichas HaKever. Why did she sit on the mashber? Because she got nervous, so they put her on the mashber. Why did she need people to walk with her? Because she thought she was in labor. But tachlis, we all know that she's not in labor, right? She's going to go for another month before she has a baby. So it's true in theory that imtum saloma, that you had a Psichas HaKever, that would pose a problem in Hilchos Nida, the same way that it was not to her in Hilchos Shabbos, Luchilul Shabbos. But if it turns out to be a false alarm, so then it turns out retroactively it wasn't really a Psichas HaKever. That's what some Achronim say. Another Achronim say no, that the whole dimyon, the whole comparison between the two is incorrect. The term Psichas HaKever in Hilchos Nida only means when the body is extracting something. That means if the chaticha is coming out of the body, so then you have to assume there's probably some dam that came along. But just because there was a Psichas HaKever, the cervix opened up. So what? So unless you know that dam came out, just the opening of the cervix per se is not a raya necessarily. There was dam, not a raya. There was no dam. It means there is no cloud of Iyav Shalom Psichas HaKever in the full sense of the word below dam. So my nafka mita between those two rejections of the Nachla Shiva, a tremendous nafka mita. Let's say you have a woman who's in labor, and this is really going to be a true labor. It looks like it's a true labor. It looks like there's going to be a baby coming. We have no reason to believe otherwise. But tachla, she hasn't had any dam yet. Is she muteris or is she asura? So according to the Nachla Shiva, for sure she's asura. According to the Nachla Shiva, as soon as she's yeshavas al amash, as soon as she's at a certain point in labor, we say psichas HaKever and it's all over. She's a nida gemura. Whereas according to those who rejected the Nachla Shiva because of the retroactive svara, but here it's not retroactively false labor, this is true labor. The doctors are looking at it and saying, these are real contractions. This is going to go, she's going to go the distance. It'll take her a few hours, but there's going to be the baby's going to be born today. So then she's hafasura. The first group of Achronim didn't disagree with the Nachla Shiva's yesod. They just disagreed with his application to false labor. According to the second group of Achronim, who disagreed with the Nachla Shiva because his whole yesod was wrong. That the Yashal of Psichas HaKever below Dam and Uchos Nida only means when something comes out, and yet nothing came out yet. So there was a Psichas HaKever in theory, but Tachos, nothing was sent out of the woman's body, so then you don't have to assume that there's a problem in terms of Uchos Nida. So it's a big machlekes, Mamish Arayam Azeh, machlekes Nigdoli Atoski. What's the difference? A woman goes into labor, she's pretty advanced in labor, she's ready, Yashavas, quote unquote, Yashavas Lamashbe, she can't walk anymore, she's reached some of the simanim that the Gemara has in Masech HaShabbos. So do we say she's automatically a Nida, or do we say, no, that Kozman hasn't been down, so we don't assume that she's necessarily a Nida? To make this shayla even more complicated as much as that, is that a lot of these shiurim don't really correspond exactly to what the modern day birth process is all about. In the days of Chazal, when a woman couldn't walk anymore, so that was usually indicative of the fact that she's pretty well advanced in labor. And one of the reasons why the woman can't walk is because they just put epidural in and she's tied down to a table, so that's why she can't walk anymore. So that doesn't prove anything. So the fact that Yeshevas al-Mashper, what does Mashper mean? Mashper means that she's in the hospital. Mashra means she's in the labor room, she's in the delivery room. What about this matter that when you have the labor and delivery in the same room? So the whole thing changes. So it's very hard to pin down what these mafias advarim that Chazal were talking about. So this is the big shal. Halacha lemaaseh is a big machlokes b'poskim. Do we say that just advanced labor, whatever you want to define advanced labor is, that's called psichas hamok, and then you're in trouble? Or do you say no, that kol zman there's no ri'as dam, and the whole sugya of the yavshel psichas hakabel adam is irrelevant in terms of a yaledes. Very often I get a call from, usually the first date you get this call, the woman gets very nervous. She went to the doctor at the beginning of her ninth month, and the doctor said she's 1 centimeter. So she thinks, she remembers learning as a kala, psichas hamok, as soon as the cervix opens, so she becomes a nida. So she calls frantic. The doctor said, I'm 1 centimeter, and I consider it to be a nida yet. So I wasn't the first one to be asked that shayla. Ramesh was asked that shayla. So Ramesh chuckled and said, he writes in his shuba, he says that we all know that 1 centimeter, the doctor say 1 centimeter for 6 months, it could be 1 centimeter. It doesn't mean anything. 1 centimeter is just a nice way. Psychologically, it feels good. It means they're 1/10. They're 1/10 of the way there. They don't realize that the next 9 is differently hard than the first one. So it doesn't mean anything to Moshe. Obviously, says Moshe, lo shemana davazem eolam, that every woman in a 9th month should be a sulabala. He said, and many, many women in the 9th month are already 1 centimeter. So obviously, there's something wrong with the equation. Obviously, when Chazal said psichasakever, they didn't mean 1 centimeter. They didn't mean 5 centimeters. They didn't mean 8. I don't know how much they meant, so much thought to know, but 1 centimeter open, that's not what they had in mind. So anyway, getting back to our story in terms of how this relates to Hilchas Chola, so we already have different stages just in terms of the pregnancy. At what point does the woman make this transformation from being an Eino Chola Klal to the point of being a Chola Sheyesh B'Sakana? So the only thing that we know is this Klal of Psichas HaKeva, which whether it's important or need or not is not relevant for us right now, but in Shabbos for sure it's important, and Chazal gives different ways of determining what is considered to be Psichas HaMachor, and then the modern day Boskim say that even that's not as relevant anymore because you have to take into consideration timing. But now, after the baby's already been born, we made the 10 centimeters, now the baby came out, so now what's the status of the woman post-birth? The Yoledes, what exactly is our status after the baby's born? So comes the Gemara in the 7th and the 9th of Chamos. Amri Nahardoi, Chaya Shlosha Shiva Ushloshim. There are 3 distinct statuses in Halacha for a Chaya, for a woman post-birth. Shlosha, for the first 3 days after birth, Bein Amma Tzrichani, Bein Amma Lo Tzrichani, Mechal Nasa Shabbos. So for the first 3 days, don't really take her input into the situation. We assume that she's considered to be a chola sheyesh po sakana, and even if she thinks that she doesn't have a particular need, so then we have to intercede and say, no, we're assuming this is a medical need. Obviously, this is only if you're dealing with a medical need. I mean, let's say the woman says she doesn't want to watch TV. So we say, no, you must watch TV because the Gemara says, vein amalot tzrichani. So that's obviously absurd. Obviously, it means only things that are going to be beneficial to her health. So we assume that that's considered to be a chsafik pikuach nefesh, and we're going to be mechalas ha-shabbos. Shiva, what about what's the next year in terms of from day 3 to day 7? So then it depends. Amra tzrichani mechal nes shabbos. Amra lo tzrichani ein mechal nes shabbos. And it depends on what she says. But the Gemara has in Masechas Yuma this idea that leg yodem arth nafsha, that sometimes a patient has a good sense as to what his condition is to some degree. Let's say the Gemara says in Masechas Yuma that if a person is sick and he goes to all the doctors, all the expert doctors in the world say that no, he'll be fine in Yom Kippur, he doesn't have to eat, but he says, you know, I feel like I'm collapsing. So leg yodem arth nafsha, at least in Suffolk he's permitted to eat. That's assuming that he has the status of a chayla. The guy's perfectly healthy. He's jumping around. Every Yom Kippur he's playing basketball. And then comes Yom Kippur and he says, you know, I just feel I'm not going to make it. That's not legal there, Mars Nafsha. That's Mishagas. So comes the Gemara and says here also that in a sense the woman has a good feel as to whether she really has some needs or not. So if she expresses the need for something, then we have to be Mechal Shabbos for her. If I'm a lo tzrichani, then ain Mechal and Asa Shabbos. So that's up until 7 days. What about past 7 days until 30 days? So Shloshim afilo am a tzrichani ain Mechal and Asa Shabbos. 30 days, from 7 days till 30 days. So even if she says she has a tremendous need, so then we're not going to be Mechal Shabbos for her unless, you know, the sun but in the normal circumstances, even if she expressed some kind of a need for something, so we assume that that's not sufficient grounds to label as a cholish yesh b'sakana. However, the Gemara says, even though it's not enough to do a deraisa, aval also nayi deramoi, it is sufficient to permit us to do isurim derabanan. Namely, the example that the Gemara gives is to do Amir Liakum. So to do a deraisa, you have to be a cholish yesh b'sakana. To do Amir Liakum, even if you're a cholish ein b'sakana. So here the Gemara says, this chiluk. We started out the shir by saying that there are two levels of chola. There's a cholish yesh b'sakana, and there's a cholish ein b'sakana. So a woman who's in Me'uberes is not even a cholish ein b'sakana. But a woman who's within 30 days after childbirth is considered to be not a cholish yesh b'sakana, but a cholish ein b'sakana. Because Rav Ula Breda V'Loi, V'Yamar, Chol Tzach Echola, Osana Deramoy B'Shabes, that anyone who's a cholah, even a cholah she'en basakana, one is permitted to do amir liyakum. If I'm nuna, she'en basakana, obla nochi v'yelsis. This becomes very important for us to halacha. So any woman within the first month after childbirth, so we're going to permit amir liyakum straight out for her, for any realistic tzorech that she has. There was a big machlokes in the Rishonim, which is relevant not only in terms of a childbirth, in terms of a general cholah on Shabbos. This klal that amir liyakum is mutter for a cholah she'en basakana, does this mean only Amir Liakum? Or does this mean Amir Liakum as an example of any Darabanan? Because Amir Liakum is Lamaisa, normally an Issa Darabanan. So that's what some Rishonim say, like the Rambam seems to say, that if Amir Liakum is Mutter for Cholosh Ein Basakana, so any Darabanan is Mutter for Cholosh Ein Basakana, even Ayyidei Yisrael, which are Isis, is also, but any Darabanan is Mutter. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says that Amir Liakum is different, because Amir Liakum is a much lower level than Rabbanon, because the Jew is not doing anything. It's what's called the Shvus, the Leis B'Maisa. It's a Shvus that's being done just with words alone. So the Rabbanon, which is just like Amir Liakum, that's going to be mutter on for that. Only that type of a derabban is going to be mutter for cholish ein basakana. And Shulchan Aruch we pass like the Ramban. We pass in that Amir Liakum is mutter for cholish ein basakana. Again, including Yaleh, there's some other types of cholish ein basakana. That all other derabbanim are also. The only exception to this rule is that Ramban writes that something which is done kliyachayad, if you do something in an abnormal way, so that's also considered to be like a lower level isser, and that would be mutter even for cholish ein basakana. It's machlokes whether the Ramban meant to say that the Rabbanan done kliyachayad, or even a deraisa done kliyachayad. Tashtas in the Ramban is that even a deraisa done kliyachayad would be mutter. Again, what the Mishnah Berurah says, the pashut pshat is that according to the Ramban, according to we accept la halacha, so even to do a deraisa, as long as you're doing kliyachayad, is mutter for cholish ein basakana. So it's important. These shadows come up all the time. You have a woman who just had a baby a couple of weeks ago, and she has to, let's say, she has to take certain medication or something. So that would be mutter, because to take medication on Shabbos is normally also, but for a cholish ein basakana, it's permissible. So sometimes she has to put on certain kinds of creams. So that's going to be mutter if it's done shalai kederach. Instead of rubbing the cream in a normal way, if you just put it in a kliyachayad or something, so that's going to be mutter. Somebody just asked me this week, this woman who just had a baby a couple of weeks ago, she was asking me about a certain type of medication to take. So it happened to me that by the time she asked me to shayla, it was like day 29 or something after she had a baby. So I said, I think it was Friday, she asked me, I said, okay, you got one more day. This Shabbos is mutter, next Shabbos is also. So because kolzman that you're a chaya within shloshim yom, that's this gemara. Within Shloshim Yom is a cholish ein basakana, so medicine is mutter, and other and really akum is mutter, and malacha derech shinui is mutter. But after 30 days, then she becomes like a menika, she becomes like a regular nursing woman, who, as we started out with the Ramakam, was saying that a regular nursing woman is like a regular pregnant woman. So even the rabbanans are not mutter, even really akum is not mutter. Only you don't have to fast on some gadai, okay, that will give her a break for. But all other isurim we're not going to lift. So basically, there is a transition in terms of the woman's status vis-a-vis Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Yom Kippur and Hilchos Tainios, in terms of during regular the bulk of the pregnancy, she's not even a Cholosh Ein B'Sakana, therefore she's required to fast Pein B'Yom Kippur and Pein B'Tisha B'Av. The only exception is the other Tainios, because of the Kabbalah Satiba didn't find her there. When she reaches the point of Psichas HaKever, then she immediately becomes a Cholosh Yesh B'Sakana, and then everything's not even Teraisa Motor. After birth, so for the first 3 days she continues her status of a Cholosh Yesh B'Sakana. From day 3 to day 7 she's a floating cholish yesh b'sakana, depending on what her particular needs are, and then from day 7 to day 30 then she becomes a cholish ein b'sakana, and after day 30 then she becomes right back to a regular person who has the michash b'yama, all the dinim v'chashap halachas are basically the same, and the only exception is considering the other tanya. So at least we finished, I guess, the introduction to the life cycle. So hopefully next week we'll start with the Hilchos Bris Mila. That's